Got down to a T now. There we go. Good evening. Welcome to the 12-Man Podcast, live on Facebook, YouTube, The Red, and your usual places you like to listen to us doing your daily activities. Evening, mate.
Evening.
You all right?
Spot on. What a difference a week makes. Get me words out right there.
A day? I know we're that good, but not that good. It's been good, hasn't it? It's been a positive week. It's been good. My name's Steve Jackal.
Jackal, can you hear me?
Yeah, you can. I can hear you.
We can't hear you.
You can't hear me. Can you hear me now?
You're very quiet.
That's not often said.
There you go. That's it.
Yeah, that's not often said, is it?
There you go. That's better. Yeah.
So, yeah, welcome to the 12-Man Podcast. I'm Steve Jackson. I'm the main chair, as usual. Mr. John Clutter's with me. Evening.
Evening.
How are we doing?
Yep, spot on, yeah. If you didn't hear it the first time, what a difference a week makes.
Exactly.
Get it right that time.
It's been a good week. It's been a very good week. Got Mr. John Donovan with us on the hard stuff. Evening, John Don.
Now then, you okay?
We're doing good. Are you having fries with that or what? I love his headset.
You say it every other week, but I still laugh. I'm a good audience.
I'm here every week. I'll come to our guest first. He's not been on for a while. You probably saw him bouncing around on the front row on Saturday. Yusuf's back with us. Evening, Yusuf.
Is it Yusuf?
Evening, all.
Can't see him. He's too close to Johnny Owson's beard.
I know. You were face deep in that beard like on Saturday when he scored.
Was very, yeah.
When Marcus Forrest scored. Yeah, you well? You good?
Yeah, really well. Thanks yourselves.
Yeah, we're all good, mate. We're all good. All good. All the better for having you on with us, so thank you for popping on.
No problem.
And last but not least, no means least, Mr. Steve Dixon's with us. Evening, Dicko.
Evening, everybody. You okay?
Yeah, we're all good. Yeah, lovely weekend, lovely week. It's been great.
Brilliant.
So there's a reason why I've introduced him last. Obviously, our prize draw. Let's get the legalities straight out of the way. Prize draw went live last week. Dicko's going to update you with how we're doing. Over to you, Dicko.
Yeah, first of all, I'd just like to give thanks to everybody that's entered the prize draw. The response has been, to be honest with you, amazing. Just thanks to everybody as well that's shared it, shared the links, done retweets, and really tried to push it for the food bank, because it's a great cause and we're all on here appreciate it massively what you have done, everybody. So that's the first thing I want to say is thank you to every single person that's been involved. But fantastic so far off the first week. We've got £618 for the food bank, which is absolutely amazing, to be fair. It really has blown my mind away how generous Teesside is. So we're 82% at the moment towards the target, which is £750. So we need £132 if we can over the next week to try and hit the target for the food bank. So if anybody can donate or enter the prize draw and be generous, we'll all appreciate it massively. Just if anybody doesn't know what the prize is, it's a signed Carlin Cup retro shirt signed by some of the legends from 2004, including England manager Gareth Southgate, Stuart Downing, Zard Nemeth, Macaroni, Bolo Zenden, George Boateng, Frank Quadru. So I'll just because John Don's here, I'm going to do me Rod Stewart. I'm going to dive in like Rod.
Where's he gone?
Diving in like Rod and coming back. And that's the shirt there, which you can see it's all signed by the legends. So if you'd like to get that. And if you're unlucky, there's a runner-up prize, which is the anniversary celebration programme, which is also signed on the back by all the players I've just mentioned, which is another excellent prize to get. So, as I say, the draw closes on Sunday, and we will do the draw for the winners live on next week's podcast and pull the winners out live. So if you're not in it, get yourself in. And again, many thanks to all that's contributed.
Yes, I'll second that.
Yeah, great effort, everyone.
Well done, Dicko. Yeah, Dicko's donated the prizes, so well done to him. And I would ask anybody listening who's sort of maybe owns a business or is influential in a local business, it would be a fantastic prize for your business to win, and then you can sort of like do whatever you want with it amongst your employees. So come on, it's all tax deductible. Get the donations in and get the chance to win a fantastic signed shirt.
It's tax deductible, I swear. Great start.
Well, you know these businesses work.
Well, yes, we do. Great start. So, before we do start, I mean, I never talk about what we talk about on our podcast. I usually think, right, let's get Monday prepared. Let's go. John Don, what did we talk about in our group chat before we came on air?
QPR.
We didn't. We can tell by his grin in his face. We talked about green bins.
Garbage.
<Yeah. laughs> It was the greatest chat I've ever read.
Yeah.
Oh, John's talking garbage again. Yeah.
So if you
absolutely, yeah.
If you think we're all well prepared and we're all drilled ready to go, we're really not. But if you really want to know what happens with your green waste, we know exactly what goes on with that now, thanks to Josh Jones. So there you go. Right.
Anyone who wants this number, we'll give it live on air later.
I'll pin it. I'll pin it in the comments for you. Right.
You mean Josh Jones, the waste manager for Middlesbrough Council? That Josh Jones?
Yes, the waste services manager for Middlesbrough Council who works in Middlesbrough. Right, yes, that's okay. The guy.
Yeah, just so that I was clear.
Yes. If you need to find him, he's in the offices in Middlesbrough. Ask for him by name, he'll come down and see you. Good luck, Jonesy. You can have a cracking week now. So, quickly talk about Norwich, because I think that's it was quite an enjoyable game. Norwich, obviously, first 20 minutes was a bit garbage.
Well,
after the firstly, was it a sending off?
Of course it was.
If you're a Norwich fan, are you fuming?
I don't care, to be honest.
Fair enough.
We've had loads of decisions that have went against us that have been 50-50.
And it was a vicious, unprovoked attack.
Yeah. To be fair, it massively changed the game, because was the five working against them the way they set up? I thought they started really well until the red card. Could have been more than one goal up. But
But
let's be honest, we've seen us play against 10 men before where we've struggled. I thought against 10 men we played really well. We utilised the space. And fair play to the lads. It's all about the result, so I don't care about the sending off.
We played the wing-backs really well, didn't we? Mm. Which is really good. I find it quite funny that we called Luke Ayling in the bin and passed it. And he's had two very good games and set up two goals.
Correction, some people called him in the bin and passed it. Not everyone.
Yeah, I didn't. Lees wouldn't let me have a word in edgeways on the first 50 minutes last week. So there we go. Go on, you got your hand up.
I called him finished.
There we go.
And to be honest with you, I stand by it. I think Luke Ayling's been excellent the last two games, as he was on his debut away at Millwall. And he is past it, because if he wasn't past it, Leeds wouldn't let him go. And he's come to Middlesbrough.
That's
and
a bit harsh, that. Sure.
No,
just because you get let go by a club doesn't mean you're finished.
Yeah, if you want to get promoted, it does, yeah. And Middlesbrough want to get promoted. So if he's not good enough for Leeds, he ain't good enough for us. And as far as I'm concerned, he's a top professional. He's come into the club. He's done well away at Millwall. He went through a sticky patch where he was being caught out left, right and centre for pace in a back four. I think the back five suits Luke Ayling because he gets forward quite well. I think it suits his game. And you know what? The last two games, I think he's been excellent. I think he was excellent against Norwich. I thought he was even better against QPR. And if he does that from now to the end of the season, I'll be delighted. And he'll prove to be a decent loan signing. But if any Middlesbrough fan has aspirations of Luke Ayling being here next season, they're in cuckoo land because he's not good enough.
So our first comment in from the night is Dave Lane John Don does indeed look like a film star, but no Botox, Steve. Who have you paid to make that comment, Steve?
I have to explain this. Davey Lean is a friend of mine and John's, and he was on the 12th man bus on Saturday for the first time with his grandson, and thoroughly enjoyed his day out. And he sent me a picture of John and himself and his grandson. And my comment was, what's happened with John Donovan on this photograph? He looked like a film star. I says, who are you paid? I says, has he had Botox on this picture? He looked like $1 million. Honest to God, what a picture. I'll send you it after the show, John. It's a great picture of your son.
I looked like a film star, Lassie.
It's a fabulous picture, mate. Honest to God.
It was great.
You could hang it in the Louvre.
You're right, it was a great day out Saturday. But anyway, going on to Norwich. Yusuf, did you manage to get to the Norwich game?
Sorry, I was on mute. No, sadly, I wasn't there, but I saw the highlights of the game.
Okay. Were you jumping about your room, waving your hands up and down when you saw the goals?
Honestly, no. I'm so different once I'm in the stadium. When I watch it on TV, I'm not as excitable, I have to say. But yeah, when I'm in the stadium, something switches. I'm a different person.
And I know exactly what you're saying. And do you know what? I love your demeanour in there because it gets everybody enthused. So keep it up.
You've just ruined it for all the listeners. Everyone was thinking of you in your room doing all this.
No, honestly, I couldn't. It's actually harder to watch on the telly than it is there, because when you're there, you're just in the moment. But when you're on the telly, you can. It's difficult to explain, but it's different to being in the stadium for sure.
Yeah, spot on. It is
absolutely that COVID season. If you just go back a couple of seasons, that COVID season was an absolute nightmare, wasn't it?
Oh, it was terrible, absolutely terrible. Hopefully, that will never ever happen again.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Yeah.
Well, if you vote right in a few months, it won't happen again. That's all I'm saying. Right. Anyway, I'll move on from that because we will get political, and I don't want to do that. But obviously the red card came. I mean, I'm not even going to talk about their goal. Their goal was shambolic and a bit of a laugh. I mean, the fact that Ashley Barnes fell over and still managed to fling a leg and score absolutely stunned me for starters. But then I'll come to Mystic Net Meg, sat it opposite me, because we all laughed at him when he came out and went, Norwich, we'll beat Norwich 3-1, don't worry about it. Don't push yourself off and think you smoke. No. Right? A red card helped you. But... But you called it. You said we win 3-1.
Yeah, I think they've had a lot of stick the last few weeks, the lads, and probably 99% of it's been deserved. But there's still some talented players in that squad, and it was gonna turn 1 point. And I think we would have all said after we beat them on Tuesday or Wednesday, whichever night it was, that we'd probably go to QPR and win as well. Because it's just typical Borough. You know, we probably all wrote off the playoffs a couple of weeks ago. But who's to say we're not going to win tomorrow and we're not going to win on Saturday, and then we could be all talking about it again. It's a weird and fantastic football club to follow. It really is. And we're all summed up in the last couple of weeks.
No, it is. You're absolutely right. It's been a different week or so, hasn't it? You know, compared to what the last few weeks have been like. Pick of the goals, I'll let you pick the pick of the goals out of the three.
I think Engels.
Cracking finish, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Fullback to fullback.
Exactly.
It was
a great finish. Side of his foot, nice and composed. And as you lads know, I've given him quite a lot of stick this season. And I'm only too happy to put my hand up when he's doing well. And it was a great goal and a great finish.
It was. And what did you win? Go on, John.
Yeah, I think it was £35 towards our charity bet. So
yes, we did. We got another winner. It was great.
Now stands at, is it something like £400 we've got?
It's over £400, yeah. So we're not far off paying for a season ticket, I'm just saying. So there you go.
It's not start that again.
Go on, John, I'll let you go.
I was just going to say, I think we were all asking for a change of formation.
Yeah.
Or a change of style. Just to prevent us being so porous at the back and having to defend every time on the edge of our 18-yard box. And the change was made for Norwich. Yes, we got off to a poor start, but we got the luck with the red card. But like Kut said earlier, sometimes 10 men, especially when they're a goal up, sit behind the ball and frustrate the life out of you. So it was really good that we got two goals to allow us to go into half-time for the first time in ages with a lead. It was good to see. It meant then that Norwich had to come out second half and try and sort of equalise, get something out of the game. And we rounded it off with Engel's goal. So it was a great win, much needed for everybody's spirits, the players, the fans. Yeah, it just lifted everybody.
Absolutely right. It was. Are you going to jump in, Dick, or sorry, mouth move?
Yeah, I was just going to say on last week's podcast when we're talking about what would like to have seen against Norwich, and I just jotted down a few things. What we were saying was we'd love to go to a back three or a back five, whichever way you want to pretend it is. It's a back five, right? So you can go to back five.
Three.
That's right, there you go, right? So we'll go three for John. So we wanted a back three. We wanted Lucas Engel back in the team, and we got that. We wanted Johnny Houston back in the team, and we got that. We wanted, and I'm sorry to say it, but it's true, we wanted Barlasser to have a rest. We wanted Paddy McNair back in the side. We wanted to see some tackles going in. We wanted to see some commitment, and we got that. And also, I'd said, I want to see the players who are playing in the wing-back positions to get some crosses in the box. Because if you're playing wing-backs, the whole point of it is to get up the pitch, get high up the pitch, and get crosses in the box. And we got that, both at QPR and Norwich. Crosses in the box by Engel and Aylin, which we got. And then what John Donovan was saying on last week's podcast was he would like to see Middlesbrough mixing it up from the back a bit more with a goalkeeper, Dieng. If it's not on, play it long. Lose the ball in their half if need be. Knock it long with your goal kicks, your pass backs. And we did that against Norwich. So we really got what we asked for, you know, which was credit to Michael Carrick for having the you know, the flexibility as a young manager to accept that the way it was going wasn't working and to change it. So kudos to him. But I'll also just say to finish on a point about the sending off. Yes, it wasn't the sending off. It wasn't a red card. But you know what? Middlesbrough have been a side bereft of confidence for the last few weeks, and we've been caught out time and time again, especially at home. But sometimes moments change teams, and something can just can inspire both as players and supporters. And I think everybody, when that moment happened, thought on and off the pitch, chance. This is the chance. We're not playing great. We've got no confidence. We're 1-0 down. Chance. And the players took the chance, and that inspired the supporters in the stand, and we'll continue that on into QPR. It's moments and seasons that can just change your season, and for me that was a moment. And so I thought fair play to every Middlesbrough player on the night against Norwich, because they seized the opportunity and they give Middlesbrough fans what we've been lacking for weeks.
You say credit and kudos to Michael Carrick. I just think it shows that Michael is an avid listener of the 12th Man podcast. And he listens to us.
Well, you never know. You never know.
We know what Michael does on a Monday night. He listens to us between 7 and 8. Evening, Michael. But no, it was a great win. And you rightfully said there, it could be a change in the season. It really could be. You know, we've been waiting for something to go our way. Fair play saying give Barlasser a rest. That's a fancy way I've heard of ever saying dropped in my life. Well done. Because that's what he was dropped. But yeah, it was a good win. It was superb. I won't go around and ask everybody's man of the match. I'll ask you, your man of the match.
My man of the match. You might be surprised by this, but I thought Matt Clark was absolutely outstanding, mate. And he's had a fair bit of criticism from certain quarters. But you've got to remember, he's been out for a long time.
Yep.
And I think he's getting better and better every game. I thought he was excellent against Norwich, so I'm going to give it to Matt Clark.
There you go. And he's our representative for this game. I'll ask you all yours for QPR, but you're unlucky. There you go. So Matt Clark got the man of the match. And what else did you win on Wednesday night?
Oh, yeah, because I was lucky enough with my prediction.
He was the only person that got it.
Managed to win a signed print off our friend Bandy, so...
Yes, the first of the two prints from Mr. Bandera.
Spot on.
Went to the man opposite me, so well done to win. The second one, I'm going to reveal in about 10 minutes, because that went as well.
Did.
So, we've had a positive week so far, so there you go, there's Norwich. And on the Saturday, QPR. John Dom, unchanged. Were you surprised... I'm not surprised that we were unchanged. I weren't surprised. I thought, you know, keep the team the same. He played really well for them 60 minutes we had against 10 men.
Yeah, I was surprised purely and simply because it's not, you know, I can't remember the last time we were unchanged. So, I was surprised, but pleasantly surprised. I thought it was a good team that we put out. It was a great day out. Well up for it, come 2:15 when we left the pub, walk into the ground. Well up for the game, got into the ground in the upper tier, in the rail seating, and it was superb, great atmosphere.
Yeah, it sounded a great atmosphere. It was great to see a lot of fans down there. They say about 2,000 fans we took again, wasn't it? I mean, that's pretty impressive, that, for a team in the form that we are.
Yeah, It is. We travel well, don't we?
We do. That's one of the best things. I'll shout from the rooftops every week. We've got the best fans in this league. I don't care if you've got Leeds and whatever in this league. I don't care. We've got the best fans in this league, and I'll keep backing it. But Yusuf, firstly, welcome. First time I'm speaking to you. Unchanged team for Saturday. Was that about right for you as well? Did you feel nothing needed to be changed going into that game with QPR?
Yeah, I think so. I think the only question marks would be the players that were out injured for a while, whether they were going to be fully fit to play again, the likes of Howson and Latte Lath that have had injuries. So that was the only kind of question marks. But if they were fit, there was no reason to change it. So I'm pleased that we're able to stick with the same 11. And yeah, I thought we gave a solid performance for sure.
Yeah. Dicko, same opinion for you as the other two?
Yeah, I was more than happy with the lineup. I was wondering whether he was going to give Aylin a rest and bring Isaiah Jones in at wing back, since he didn't come on against Norwich, but that was the only one. But no, I thought he got it spot on, leaving the unchanged team. We won, played well, no need to change it. No complaints whatsoever, which is a nice change for me.
Mm-hmm. Is that the same with you?
Yeah. Yeah. I just can't get over Dicko having no complaints, but yeah, absolutely.
clip it. But no, it was, I won't delve too far into the first half. I thought first half, they were probably the better team. They created a couple of good chances. Dieng made a couple of good saves, one notably from Chris Willock. It was a really good save down to his right-hand side. That was a really good save, but... Second half, I just want to come straight through to the part of the game the moment that changed the game for me, big time. Obviously, Smith gets round Dieng. That tackle from a 19-year-old kid. What a tackle! Like, what a tackle that is! I mean, you just made it sound straight away that I could I feel exactly the same. Talk to me. How good was that tackle?
Well, stuff like that means as much to me as it was,
massively.
Because it was outstanding. We keep going on about him every week and how good he's looking, and Sophie's messaged in saying we should all have Van den Berg pajamas after his last performance, and I totally that was a tackle of an experienced top quality centre half. For however long we've got that lad at this football club, we should enjoy it, because he is going to be some player, him.
Treasure the kid. Yeah. Absolutely treasure him. John Dunn, he's 19. He's 19 years old. He's unbelievable.
I know. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? But you talk about incidents that change games, and that certainly changed that game. I mean, we could have been 1-0 down, but he put in that tackle in the box. If he'd have got it wrong, he either brings a player down or the player... puts it the ball into an empty net. He got it bang on. It changed the game. That was the point in the game that was crucial for me.
Yeah, and then obviously following on from that, I say a few minutes later, I'll come to you, Dick. Oh, the ball goes in from Clark, and it was a cracking finish again from Latte Laff. First time, no touch, just flung his right foot at it, bang, bottom corner.
Yeah, brilliant finish. It was a volley by Matt Clark with his left peg onto Latte Laff, volley with his right peg. Superb finish. He meant it. He knew exactly what he was doing. Difficult finish to do as well. And I think Latte Laff, if he had been fit all season, would be pushing by 20 goals this season. I think he's a really good player. He's only going to get better. I think he's proven to be value for money. His stats are good. He's adapting to the English game. I think we've got a really good player on our hands for next season. Regarding Rav Vandenberg there, I just said before the Norwich game, fine margins, sending off, same at QPR, fine margins. That's the moment in the game at QPR, like John Don said.
Yeah.
That could be a red card, it could be a penalty, it could be a goal.
Exactly.
Moments change games. Middlesbrough now seem to be getting those moments. We've been bereft of them for the last, seems forever. But now things are starting to change, and that's what we want. You know, you come in there, you know, it was a fantastic tackle. He was like Rav Van Beckenbauer, you know what I mean? Just come from nowhere, took him out. Absolutely superb. And he's looking a real player. And I just hope, like Hackney and like Isaiah Jones, you know, I hope we can keep these players. McGree's another one. I hope we can keep them on our books for next season and add to the squad, because we have got the makings of a really good side when everybody's fit.
So just for the record, now we've got the Championship Zidane and Beckenbauer. Are we not top of the league here?
Just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Rav Van Beckenbauer.
I'll tell you what, though, that little cushion pass from Matt Clark was good as well.
It was lovely. It was
Clark, he's had a good couple of weeks, John. You mentioned man the match against Norwich. And if it hadn't have been for Rav Vandenberg's display at QPR, he'd have possibly got man the match at QPR. He's having a really good... a good time is Clarkey. To be fair, because we haven't mentioned him, let's give a little bit of credit to Paddy McNair as well.
Oh,
who's
yes.
also mm-hmm. been superb and made a huge difference in there as well with his experience. The back three are looking really good at the moment.
Yeah, we all were asked, you know, if we're going to make it a back five, who would we all bring in? And I think
we all had Paddy in.
So
yeah.
Says it all. I mean, going to the Facebook comments there, Ryan Elliott's come in and said, do you think he'll stay after Rodgers? I'm nervous. Obviously, going on about Vandenberg, isn't he?
Let's be honest. If we were to sell this summer, it's going to take a really big bid. You're looking over £20 million now.
Oh, God, easy.
For a centre-half at 19-year-old that's doing as well as him, if we're getting whatever we got for Rodgers, rumoured to be between 10 and 15, Vandenberg's got to be worth at least 20, but I really hope we keep hold of him for at least another year. He lets us have a push next year. And like I said, we're going to make some big money on that lad. We really are.
Oh, he's an absolute... He's a man mountain. He's a giant. 19 years old, unbelievable. But I know, I keep saying it. I'm absolutely stunned by it. He's absolutely unbelievable. He's one of the best teenage footballers I've seen.
It's not just his performances on the pitch. He's been captain of the side as well this year. Yeah. And captain at 19-year-old. Whether we've got leaders in that dressing room or not, it's still a massive statement to say, there you go, son.
Exactly. I mean, I know I mentioned, obviously, last week, you know, Dale Fry got that honour as well. But if you want to go back to one of the big ones that got that honour, Tony Mowbray got that honour. You know, he was a teenager. He got the captain's armband. So he's in good company. He's in really good company.
We've had some colossal centre-halves down the years at this football club. But I personally, in the 30-odd years I've been following this football club, I don't think I've seen a better 19-year-old centre-half than him.
No.
In fact, I don't even know if I've seen a better 19-year-old than him. Maybe you could put Downing in there, but...
You are talking about footballers, aren't you? I mean,
yeah.
That's a big statement, John.
Well, try and think of some 19-year-olds that have looked as good as what he's looked.
And you've got to go off position now. I know what you're saying. I would probably go back and think of a player. Tony Mowbray was a rugged centre half. How old was Gary Pallister when he made his debut? Because he was a bit more of a footballing centre half like Rav. How old was he when he made his debut?
I think he must have been in his 20s, though, was he, Pally? Early 20s.
So, he's in good company.
He's right up there, anyway, put it that way.
That's one for our listeners. If you know how old Gary Pallister was, get in touch. But move on to the second goal. I've left Youssef out for this. I'm going to put him back in for this one because he was front and centre when Marcus Faure stood there in front of that way. That poor steward tried to stop a few people and poor Youssef just piled in and went, move, I want in. But give a bit of credit to the goal. I know you mentioned it as well, John Don, in your tweets. But Youssef, that header from Marcus Faure, he's running backwards. He's having to compose himself. And it's a hell of a header. And, by the way, FYI, Marcus Faure scores goals. I'll keep saying it every week. Scores goals, another goal, and a great finish. But, yeah, how was it touching Johnny Howson's beard?
It wasn't even deliberate. I wasn't going to ask you about the goal. I didn't know you were going to ask me about touching his beard, but
It's better than the two beards that we can see here, I'll tell you that much.
Come on with my beard, leave my beard alone.
That Johnny Howson's beard is a very nice beard, I have to say, you know.
Beard watch?
I don't know if he shampoos it, but something he does with it. It's just, it's got a nice little texture.
I ask the right questions, me, that's why I ask.
Did it smell nice, Youssef?
I didn't even smell it. I didn't smell it. I just remember feeling it.
It tastes nice.
I can't answer that question either. It felt really, really good.
This is a new section for the show, Johnny Howson's beard. Every week now, guys.
Moment of the week sponsored by Johnny Howson's beard. There we go. There's his sponsor.
Now, fair play. I mean, Youssef, it was superb to see the fans celebrating with the players. You know, it was great to see. There wasn't just you. There was quite a few. You know, who joined in the celebrations. And I think everybody knew. You know, that was the goal that was going to clinch us the 3 points. So yeah, well, why not go mad? Why not dive in and celebrate? I was in the upper tier. I think if I'd have been downstairs, I might have done exactly the same.
There's no might about it.
There's no might about it.
You're like Usain Bolt across the terraces there, Youssef. I've seen you. You're on the right-hand side, and I watched. I've seen you careering through, right across the goal to catch him. Good turn of pace.
Force just stood there, so I thought, might as well run and celebrate with him. So, yeah, it was a nice moment, I have to say.
No, it was
so what was your view? What was your view of the goal then? You know, because obviously, lower tier.
I thought you were going to say Johnny Howson's beard there.
What was your view of the goal, and what was your thoughts when it went in?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as the ball went in from Aylin and it went to Force, you just knew he was going to score, and he's one of those players where you just know anything he touches goes in the back of the net, or at least makes the keeper save it. So I had no qualms that it was going to be a goal. And I think Force believes every time he has the ball, he's going to score. And I think a lot of strikers, they lack that belief. They probably try a bit too much. But Force just wants to put the ball in the back of the net. He's an old-fashioned striker, if you like. He just wants to score goals. And there's probably not too many strikers around like that anymore. Although I say striker, I mean, he's been playing right wing for most of the time under Carrick. But He is our best finisher by a long, long way. So, yeah, I had no qualms about him scoring.
I mean, yeah, he's selfish at times, but that's what you want from a man in front of goal. You know, you want him to have confidence in his own ability. But that finish, like I said, he saw the cross coming. He had to run backwards to get himself in position, and the header. He must have only been about 5 or 6 yards from the touchline.
Yeah,
through Begovic. And Begovic is no mug. And he put it through Begovic into the far corner. Superb. Absolutely superb.
I don't think Begovic thought he was going for goal. The cross come in. It was like a lofted cross. It was quite high. There wasn't that much pace on the cross. It wasn't a bullet of a cross. And the leverage he got to get up to head it was impressive to start with. And I think Begovic, he set himself expecting Force to head it back across goal for somebody to come in to score. And I think why he scored was Begovic was just completely bamboozled by the fact that he not only got up, but headed it on target into the roof of the net. And Begovic, as a goalkeeper, was set thinking he's going to head this back across goal and I'm going to move across goal to react to where it's going. And he just beat him all ends up. It was a it was a superb header, really good. I mean, there's a photograph of it on the internet showing Marcus Force at the back post with the cross coming in. And if it was the olden days, the kids won't get this one, but we will. If it was the old spot the ball competition, we had to put the X where the ball was. You wouldn't have believed that he got his head on it. It was incredible.
You might know what that is, but I don't.
We've got a couple of Facebook comments in. David Moss says Rav's a £40 million player. Ryan Elliott says he deserves a chance, like A2. Easy 15 to 20 goals without injury. I think a good end of the year will help us hang on to some key players. Going to be a really important summer for our future.
Before you go on to that next one, Mr. Rav Vandenberg does have a new chant. If you go online, go on X, Twitter, whatever it's called, Mr. John Donovan's happily put the words up. And if you look below it, Mr. Jamie Delgano is happily auditioning how to sing it.
How not to sing it.
How not to sing it after about 15 cans down his throat.
Yeah. I was going to say it was a train journey home. There's obviously been a few drinks involved.
Yes, but there you go. If you want to go online, have a little look. The chant looks a beaut. To be fair, I'm looking forward to getting me voice around that one, and obviously getting stuck in. It's going to be a good one to sing. So
and to prove that we're a finely oiled machine, Tom Maron.
Here he is.
The first thing Force always thinks is, "How can I get closer to the goal?" Very direct player. I think he's quality. Speaking of Tom Maron, Stephen's got something to say.
Yeah, amen. Evening, Tom. Most people know Tom if you go to the Southern away games. He had 2-0, Marcus Force. So well done, Tom. Get in touch with us. Send us across your details. You've got a signed print coming your way from Mr. Graham Bandera. So well done. That's 2 out of 3 gone. So I didn't realise he sent me 2 of the Riverside ones. So I'm quite privileged by that. So we've got one more to give away, so hopefully we'll give that away this week as well. But it's not been a bad week, has it?
No.
Bit of charity money, 2 competitions won.
Like buses, aren't they?
It's not a bad one. Like a fine old machine.
So would you say man the match then for Saturday, would you say, lads? Judy?
It's got to be Vandenberg, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I would like to give a big shout out to Johnny Howson, who I thought has changed the dynamics of the team, helped the team, being a colossus both against Norwich and QPR. But on the QPR game, I thought Rav Vandenberg was head and shoulders above anybody else.
Superb, wasn't he?
Well, his partners either side, you know, Clark and McNair, superb. It was a great performance. Again, Luke Ayling done really well. When we play 3 at the back, his defensive duties are eased because obviously we've got that extra centre half. Luke Ayling played well, but I'll have to agree with Vandenberg. I mean, that tackle alone was the game changer, and the guy's immense. I'm so glad we've got him at our club, and I hope he's here for a long, long time.
Yeah.
What about you, Yusuf?
Yeah, Rav as well. You can't look further than Vandenberg. I thought he was, I mean, everyone's spoken a lot about him today. He's just so good. I just hope he stays for at least one more year. I think it's too soon, I think, if he was to go this summer. I just hope he stays at least one more year, and then he can get a really, really good move. But man of the match by a long, long way.
Jack, well?
If we show ambition, you know, if we carry on and have a good end to the season and show ambition in the summer transfer window, it'll hopefully make him think that his future is here. You've seen so many great young players move to bigger clubs and their career stalls. I'm hoping, you know, he's getting the right advice and he stays with us for a few more seasons, could even be pushing for the Premier League in maybe his next season or the season after. I just hope he's a part of that.
I think Michael Carrick's staying will be key. I think he enjoys playing under Michael Carrick. He's made him captain at 19-year-old. He's going to develop under Michael Carrick. And I think he will definitely stay another season, unless we get a ridiculous bid. I think he will stay next season and have a fantastic season next season. I think Middlesbrough will be stronger next season. And if we're pushing for the Premier League, I think Rav Vandenberg will be more than happy to stay at Middlesbrough next season. So I think the signs are good for that. I think he's, like you say, like Hackney as well, you know. Hackney's, to me, can you remember when, I think it was Chris Wilder persuaded Marcus Tavernier. He said, have one more year, see if we can get to the Premier League, and then if we don't get there, you can move on. I can imagine similar talks happening with Rob Vandenberg in the summer.
Yeah, agreed.
Man the match for you, Jack?
Oh, God, yeah. Vandenberg. Classable, if anything. Big shout out to that defence, though. Clean sheet. Mm-hmm. Very rare. So, clean sheet, which is very, very good.
Well, I was going to say it's going to kill me agreeing with you four, but not particularly Yusuf. I just mean you three, but I've got to agree with you three.
And Sophie's got in touch. Pally was 19 when he made his debut. There you go.
Thank you.
So there you go. Saves me. Look,
did she put her glasses on to read that stat?
No,
like father, like daughter.
No, her dad's nicked him.
Yeah, exactly.
don't say that, the poor girl.
I know. But
she knows more than me, thankfully for her.
Yes. I'll leave it there. Right. I've got quite a bit of control on this one. We're 45 minutes in and I've
storming out.
I know, we flew for this bit. Right. Birmingham, tomorrow. Our game in hand. John Don, we win tomorrow, we are 5 points behind Hull. You know them playoffs we all wrote off 2 weeks ago? I'm still in the camp, we're not gonna do it. Do we now have to start writing them out again, and then before we write them off again?
Well, you know, obviously, until it's mathematically certain that we won't be in, we still have a chance. But I'm like you; I think it's more unlikely than likely, because obviously after the international break, we've got some really tough games, especially like Ipswich away, Hull away, Southampton away. You know, there's some tough games. But I just want us to have a good end to the season, to be positive, to pick up the odd result. If we can get shocks along the way and stay within touching distance of the playoffs, who knows? You know, I mean, we've got Jones to come back into the team. We've got Hackney to come back into the team. So who knows? Yeah, I think it's highly unlikely, but it's not mathematically impossible.
No, you're absolutely right. I think we've given ourselves away a bit too much to do. But are you in that camp as well?
Yeah, it'll be difficult. I mean, we've 2 wins in a row now. We're going to need to go on a mental run from now to the end of the season, really, to get close.
And there's always that team, isn't there, that catches form about now. I mean, I hate to say it, Coventry did it last year and got in. And finished fifth and then did the job against us.
It's still a big gap, though.
Oh, of course it is. I'm still in the gap where I don't think we'll do it. I think there's too many teams in between us. Fair enough, if it was like a gap and then nothing between us, like say like we were seventh and then obviously they're sixth. But there's too many teams in between us. You've still got Cardiff in there, Preston, Norwich, you know, teams like that are all still in there. You know, it's going to be difficult. Yusuf, you making the journey to Birmingham tomorrow?
No, unfortunately not. I've got work, so I'm going to give it a miss. But I'll be watching on the telly again.
And what are you expecting from the trip to St Andrews tomorrow? It's a tough ground, St Andrews. It's a really tough ground to go to. Obviously, they're now, is it fourth bottom they are now? Pretty sure they're fourth bottom, you know.
Yeah, point off the relegation zone.
So it's going to be a tough one, but what we say, as John Don disappears, bye John. What we say, Yusuf, then, you know, how difficult are we going to find this one?
Yeah, it's going to be really, really difficult. It's quite similar to when we played Stoke last week, because obviously Stoke needed a win, they were at home. But at the end of the day, we've probably got better players than Birmingham, but football's not about who's got better players and who's got a better team. You know, Birmingham probably need the win more than we do, because like everyone's saying, playoffs is unlikely, but survival is obviously Birmingham's big aim. So it's going to be a really, really difficult game. We've struggled against Plymouth and Stoke in, you know, the last few weeks. So it's going to be a tough game, but if we can keep the momentum going, you know, one back to back games, then who knows?
Yeah, I mean, their form's not great. All of a sudden, is it? I mean, you just—I caught you having a look there.
Yeah, well, funnily enough, it's coincided with obviously Borough legend Tony Mowbray taking a bit of a back seat there, because when he initially came in, they picked up a bit after the debacle of Rooney. Obviously, all of our best wishes are for Tony. We've said it,
yeah,
in the past on the pod. But tomorrow, hopefully, it's 3 points for Middlesbrough, and it's about how we perform. I keep saying it. It's about how we approach the game tomorrow. We've got the ability in the squad to go there and get 3 points, but you just never know watching this football club. You never know.
That's the best thing about tomorrow, isn't it? We've got no one else. I don't think anybody else around us is playing.
I think we're the only game in the championship, aren't we?
I think we're the only one.
So a game in hand, isn't it?
Yeah. So we've got
because of the Chelsea game.
Yeah, it's the only game in the championship tomorrow.
Yeah, it's because we won the cup against Chelsea. It's our game in hand.
No. What's it? I thought it was an FA Cup game.
Right. Yeah, maybe you're right. I thought it was for the Chelsea one.
But you know, there's no distractions. You can't look. Players can't look because players can sense from a crowd if there's something going on in other games that it's going to affect us. But there's no one else around tomorrow. So, Dicko, what are you expecting from tomorrow? I say it's,
actually, Ryan Elliott's correct. Both Dicko and Jacko are both wrong. It was Birmingham's FA Cup replay that caused the game to be postponed. So I was really happy to report that. Well done, Ryan.
It wasn't the FA Cup replay, it was their fourth round game. Get that right, Ryan. You're going to try and fact check me, right?
Oh, was it a Saturday? There you go, then.
Get back in your box. Anyway, Dicko, I'll come back to you. what are you expecting from tomorrow night?
Yes, it'll be a tough game. They're on a bad run. I don't think they've won since Tony Mowbray took bad and took time off. I don't think they've won a game since then. Mark Venus is in charge at the moment, ex-Borough assistant manager.
Aye.
But they've only lost one of the last six at home. So they're not too bad at home. I think they've won three out of the last six as well. But if you had asked me this question a few weeks ago before we changed the formation and our last two performances, I would have been expecting Birmingham to do what Stoke done to her and just come out and bully her and hassle her and harass her and get the 3 points and Middlesbrough roll over and get the bellies tickled. But I don't think so now. I think what Middlesbrough have showed over the last couple of games is that we're going to fight up for the fight with Housen and O'Brien in the midfield, and the back five putting in tackles. And we seem a little bit different at the moment, Middlesbrough, and we're getting players back now. You see Isaiah Jones comes into the mix as well. So I think the first goal tomorrow is in every championship game. It's
huge,
massive.
Huge.
In the same tomorrow night, if we go and score first, the Birmingham fans, you know, how are they going to react to Middlesbrough scoring first?
Yeah.
They haven't won in four games. And we've got the quality to do so with the forwards that we've got. Their captain's out, Sanderson, the centre-back's out. So I'm sure Lattie Laugh will be licking his lips at that prospect. So I fully expect Middlesbrough to go and hopefully get something from the game, whether that's a draw or a win. I'll be really disappointed if Middlesbrough come away with nothing.
Yeah, same. I say we've got. I mean, there's no pressure. I mean, in a way, there's no pressure tomorrow because we've got nothing to lose. In a way that we're not going to lose further ground because it's our game in hand. But we've got so much to gain tomorrow, so much. I just think
last week, if you remember, you asked me. I think I was only one. Though I said we are in a relegation battle. I could see the surprise in people's eyes looking at the screen, and I said we're not in a relegation battle because we're too good. The points we've got, the goal difference that we've got, the game in hand that we've got, the Birmingham, the players we've got coming back from injury, in Housen, I said, and Isaiah Jones, and we've got Glenahan coming back, Hackney coming back. If we were to win tomorrow night and then roll into Blackburn at home and beat Blackburn, I think there'd be a few teams looking over the shoulder, looking at Middlesbrough and the squad we've got, the players we've got, coming good at the right time. Bearing in mind, Hull are the team we need to catch. And I think we've still got to go to Hull away, haven't we?
We have, yeah? Yes. You're
so
right.
there's still dynamics in the season that could happen. Me personally, I probably think Middlesbrough, like I said, in January, will just fall short of the playoffs. But if we can somehow get a result tomorrow night, rock into Blackburn and get a result at home to Blackburn, I think there'd be one or two teams looking over the shoulder. And you know what? It would just be nice just to keep the season going for the supporters, and especially the ones that travel home and away, just to know they're going away from home with something on the game.
Absolutely.
And as I say, we've got some big games. You've got Leeds at home, Hull away. You know, these are all going to be massive games coming up. So I think tomorrow night's a big game for Middlesbrough, as it is for Birmingham.
Yeah, absolutely. And plus, like you said there, if we can get two wins this week, it's four wins on the bounce. All of a sudden, you think, I know. He's back from putting his fresh batch of chips on. Here he is.
I thought he's putting the bins out.
No, that's Josh's job. Waste Services Manager for Middlesbrough Council, if you've forgotten. John, Don, I'll come back to you. What are you expecting from tomorrow night?
A relegation battle, you know, a team that's hovering above the bottom three, who are in a poor run of form, who are going to scrap for everything, I would imagine. But just like QPR, I want us to go in at half time, still in the game, not as we've done on so many occasions, having it all to do second half. It's going to be difficult, and obviously, you know, we don't know because of the players back from injury, and some of them have played two games on the bounce. We don't know what sort of formation, what sort of team Michael Carrick will put out. But I'm going there hopeful, you know, that we can get at least a point, and hopefully get the three and put us in good mood for Saturday's game against Blackburn.
Absolutely. Timed that quite well. I'm going to hand over to you now because you can go through all the predictions for what's coming this week.
Yeah, well, Jason the bus driver's going 1-0 as us.
Jason the bus driver.
I'm going for Lath anytime.
Which game's this, John? Sorry, which
Birmingham.
Game?
Birmingham.
Birmingham, okay.
So Jason's 1-0 as us. I'm going for Lath 2-1. Jackwell?
2-0. I think it'll be another 2-0. And I think I'm going to go for it again. I think Vandenberg to pop one.
JD?
3-1.
Lovely.
Matt Clark.
Whoa, that'll be some price, that.
Here we go. Get some more pennies in for that extra season ticket. Here we go.
Dicko?
2-1 Middlesbrough. Latty Alath to score.
Yeah, for the second week in a row, you've copied exactly the same as me. Do you want to pick another one?
Yeah. Marcus Force 2-1. There you go. Great minds think alike, John.
I can imagine some of the listeners tuning in and out every now and again, but you're supposed to be on the show. You should be listening to what we're saying. Well,
keep forgetting we can't do the same score.
The best thing is, you said it 20 seconds ago. Yeah. That's the best part about him.
Yusuf?
1-0 Riley McGree.
1-0 McGree.
Okay. Which will then take us on to... So we've all gone for a win there, haven't we?
We have indeed.
So that's three wins in a row. That'll take us nicely into Blackburn Saturday. That'll be a tough game.
You go first, John, so I know what you're saying. Go on.
What, like last time?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Go on, John.
Can I just ask, Yusuf, are you going up tomorrow?
No, I was just saying to the lads before, I've got work, so sadly I'm not going to be there tomorrow.
Are you there on Saturday?
I'm putting the bins out, John, when he's
there. I missed that. I was doing the chips.
A few too many people went large with their orders, so he was a bit busy. Are you up on Saturday for the game, though, Yusuf?
I'll be back on Saturday for sure, yeah. Blackburn.
Well, one thing's for certain, 1,000,000%, Dicklow's not copying the same score as me, are you, for Saturday? Blackburn at home, Latia Lath, anytime, 4-2 in a barnstormer.
He's got his number generator back. he's recharged it.
There we go, 4-2. Jacko?
I've got the same score, 2-0.
I thought you meant 4-2.
No, I'm not daft.
2-0.
2-0. And I'll go Paddy McNair. There you go.
JD?
3-0. Marcus Foss.
Dicko?
I'll go
4-2. Let you laugh, yeah.
Who should I? I'll go 2-1 Middlesbrough. Riley McGree.
2-1 McGree. Yusuf.
1-0 again, and this time Lewis O'Brien.
Okay, and just to mix things up, Dally's come in and said he's going to go 1-1. He hasn't really. He hasn't really. Even Dally.
Sharon, who we know pretty well, has gone Borough win 2-1.
Yeah, but read them goal scorers.
Ryan Giles and Latia Lath. Put the wine down.
Shaz, put the wine down. Go back to Leeds, man. Come on. Ryan Giles. But there you go.
We've all gone for 6 points out of six there, so that would make it very interesting if we did.
It'll make it interesting next Monday when we get none out of six and we all look like idiots.
And we're all sat here absolutely fuming.
I think we'll all be delighted with 4 points, wouldn't we? Whichever way they get it, we'll be delighted with four. If we get a win at Birmingham, draw, either way around, 4 points will be a great return after two wins on the bounce.
Of course it would. But we're all sat here next week, absolutely fuming, and then Dick Hussin draw his own name out of that draw and win both prizes, and we'll be even more fuming.
Don't say that. Imagine if that happens. Sharon's message back, by the way, she meant McGree, not Ryan Giles, so that's an easy mistake to make.
Yeah.
Is it?
Hey, I might not be on next week. You know, I booked myself a holiday, so, you know.
Oh, you shouldn't have
said. I might not be on.
What?
Where's
it? Shocking, that.
So you've done a prize draw for next week, and you've just now said you're not going to bother. Super.
I'm only kidding, folks. I'll be here.
Who on earth goes on holiday while the season's on? I mean, come on.
I'm only kidding. I'll be here. Don't worry.
To be fair, I've booked to go away in September again, so, so yeah. But
he's me. I missed Leicester, didn't I? So,
yeah, he did.
Well, Sharon's replied again. She'll come on instead of you, Dick. Well,
she can tell
her to get on. Come on anyway. She can come on anyway.
Yeah, you can tell us all about Luke Ayling if you want.
Sharon can pick the ball out the bag.
What?
Is she aware of the swear filter?
Well, judging by the two F's and an S that she put after it, I don't think so.
Shaz has no filter. She has a filter of her own. So, that'll be an easy big button. But, anything more you want to add?
By the way, Sharon, if you want to come on next week,
absolutely.
You're more than welcome.
Feel free.
You say it every week. It's not a closed house.
Nope.
Any of the fans who want to come on and join us, you're more than welcome. So, exactly. Get in touch.
Well, we've got a regular with a Geordie accent. We've got Sharon, who's got a West Yorkshire accent. She can come on. It's very diverse.
We've got Yusuf from London on.
Yeah.
It's very diverse.
We'll Yusuf, can I just ask, did you walk to QPR? How far are you away from there?
Honestly, everyone makes that same joke every lunch and away day. Everyone makes the same joke.
Just for the record, Yusuf.
London's only the size of, it's only the size of Stokesley, isn't it, London?
Just for the record.
London's massive.
Just for the record, Yusuf, John wasn't joking, he was deadly serious.
Oh, I thought I was joking. That would take 2 hours to walk. London's massive.
That was class.
Oh, well, I'm glad Yusuf's announced a charity walk from his house to Loftus Road next season.
Oh, God, well, that's fine.
It seems it's only 2 hours, you can walk back as well.
Oh, my good God.
If he runs as quick as he did on Saturday at QPR, he'll do it in an hour.
Yeah.
Bang him in the GB just team for the 10,000 metres. Go on, son, you're getting that.
Just tell him there's a beard at the finish line.
Hey, we've got a question here from Ryan Elliott for Yusuf. Question for Yusuf: how was it being mentioned by Lineker on The Rest Is Football about the Cole Palmer celebration, which we all know was Rodgers?
Yeah, I mean, the whole media was just ridiculous. They kept on saying Cole Palmer celebration, Cole Palmer celebration, Cole Palmer celebration. But yeah, that was a pleasant surprise. I listen to The Rest Is Football all the time. So when I saw Lineker, Michael Richards and Alan Shearer talking about it, that was a bit bizarre. The fact that they've seen my face is just, unreal. But yeah, it was a surreal 24 hours from being put on Sports Bible, and yeah, it went a little bit crazy.
That's... Well, Yosef, obviously Rodgers has gone, so you can't do that celebration. But after Saturday, we want you to do the Latte laugh dance, you know, when he scored. Sure you can do that. You're used to swinging your arms, so I'm sure you can do that.
I'll have to watch it again and rehearse, and then maybe we'll see that.
Coming soon to the 12th Man podcast.
I'm expecting great things on Saturday. And I just want to say, I apologise for the language that came out of Yusuf's mouth. The use of Alan Shearer on this podcast is an absolute disgrace.
I tell you what, I didn't know Yusuf had so many friends in high places. Micah Richards, Alan Shearer and Gary Lineker. Any chance you can get him on the show like Yusuf?
Second time, I apologise for the language. Do not use Alan Shearer's name on this podcast. Put that in the bin. And on that
one Geordie's more than enough on you.
Exactly.
You can say that again.
No, don't say it again. On that lovely note, I'm going to say cheerio to you, Peter. So thank you for coming in, as usual. I'm talking to you there.
I know, yeah.
Well, they'll say you're welcome.
You're welcome.
Okay. We work well. We work very well together. Thank you, you three, for coming on. Yusuf, thank you so much for popping on. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Enjoy the game Saturday. We'll all be watching from afar, from the North Stand, watching you dance at the bottom. Because we all see you. So if you haven't mastered that Latte laugh celebration, you'll be getting a message. The rest of you, I'll see you at the weekend. Big game on Saturday. John, enjoy Birmingham. Bring some points back or don't come back. And yes, I will take extra fries with that. And yes, and for you people listening and watching and commenting, subscribing, liking, everything, just thank you so much. It's a nice podcast to make, it really is.
It was, yeah. Yeah, thanks for giving up your time, Yusuf. We appreciate
it. Yeah, we really do. And yes, pop back on next week. Have a little listen to what we're going to go on about. We could be happy again. We could be kicking off again. You don't know, do you? So, yeah, that's the beauty of us. So, yeah. Cheers, boys. Up the Borough. Be seeing you. Cheerio.
Up the Borough.
Up the Borough, lads.
Cheers, lads. Thanks, Yusuf. Bye.